God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Do that again. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Praise the Lord to our live stream listeners and those not present. Welcome to Bible class tonight. Put your hands together and praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Let me see. I certainly want to open the floor for questions to see how you've been flowing. And in relationship to the ministry and meditating upon the ministry and studying the ministry. Amen? Let's go for it. Yes.
So I want to tell you about something that happened to me dealing with discernment. And I was just in the kitchen and I was, you know, preparing food and everything. And I was thinking on the message. It says nothing's going to happen until you cry out, I'm a sinner. And no sooner than I was thinking on that, all of a sudden my knees buckled where I was standing, so I had to hold on. And I'm hollering out, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. And tongues just kept going, just flowing. And because I wanted to say it last week, but I didn't get a chance to, you know, time wasn't for me to say it. But I just want to see what I do need to do from now. You know, where do I go as far?
It's the first time you were able to do what he said do.
Right, okay.
If nobody confesses, see, the church threw that out. I said, we didn't have to confess. And repentance is a silent thing. Do you know how much growth and maturity has to happen in you before you can confess your sins? You have to be, there's a growth that has to happen in you before you can do that. And what we do, we see something wrong and say, well, I'm just sorry, I'm going to do right. And you ain't dealt with the Lord yet. If you wrong someone, you go to them, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't intend to do that. You ain't dealt with the Lord. You dealt with them. Then you got to go deal with the Lord. And we don't do it. And I know the subtlety of it. And that's why when you first did it, and the Lord drew attention to it. When you did, when all the things you had lined up, you had done that was right. Everything you had said was right. And the Lord says, the one thing that the enemy don't want anybody to do is that repent and confess. He don't have a problem with you saying I'm sorry. Uh-uh, that ain't it. The Lord didn't never tell you to say I'm sorry. Let the world say I'm sorry. You know why the world really says I'm sorry? Does anybody know why? Why? You just gotta use the mic if you're gonna talk. Why does the world say I'm sorry?
Just for they won't have a guilty conscience. Or they won't, I mean, just to make them feel better. Sometimes people just to kind of get that off them quickly.
Build on that. What is it about them when they say, look at, there's a frame. There's a frame. Let's, we're talking about what? What are we talking about?
Repentance.
What was the question centered around? What was the question centered around? The world, right?
Right.
Hold that. Stay there. Okay. Hold that. If I'm talking about the world, then you want to see what?
Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life.
Mm-mm. You want to see the world in relationship to the question. This is good. Because I've got to get not only you, I've got to get everybody to understand like this. Because this is your pure conscience. I am presenting to you a pure conscience and trying to show you how a pure conscience sees. And if you don't understand the pure conscience that I'm presenting to you, you're never going to purge your conscience. That's why I've been doing that lately. I've been telling you lately, I've been doing it because the Lord is leading me to do that, because it's the only way your conscience is going to be pure. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to you where a pure conscience is. I'm presenting to you a pure conscience. And when I question you, it's not, when I question you, I'm not questioning you about your intellect and what you know. I'm trying to prick your conscience so it can be purged of something. And if I ever get your conscience to be purged, do you know I won't have to worry about you no more? Because your conscience will start talking to you. The reason our conscience doesn't serve us, Peter, I think, the answer of a good conscience. The reason our conscience doesn't serve us is because we don't have a conscience that can purge our conscience. God, that was perfect. That was perfect. That was perfect. When you talk to me, you presented to me a conscience. And when the knowledge that you speak to me with tells me the state of your conscience, is your conscience from the tree of good and evil? Or is your conscience pure and can only bear witness to the truth? I know all of that when you talk to me. And if I don't kind of shift the way I'm dealing with you, you're never going to come into what I want you to come into. And you're not going to ever know. And I don't want that. But you can't, I don't want anyone to let the enemy make them think I'm attacking them. I'm your instructor. I love you. I'm not trying to see what you know. No, dear. I'm not trying to see what you know. I want to take the way you see it and purge it until you can see it the way God sees it. That's what wisdom does. That's all I want to do. And all the other things the enemy tells you are nothing but means to keep me from doing what I know that'll make you see the way God sees. Is that clear? I really want you to understand. I want everybody, I'm glad you said it, but I want everybody to understand that, because that's what I do. If I hear you, I can see the flaw. I can see the error. Then I want to know, can I purge that so that that error won't be in you no more? Because God, now I can give, now, okay, now I'm not going to shift, but let's go through some examples, okay? I'm going to give one. I want you to give me one. Okay? I'm going to give one, you give one. Everybody hear me? Are we going to participate? Come on. Are we going to? Because if you got to give me an example. No, a scriptural example. My example is God is talking to Cain. Is something wrong with his knowledge? After God had respect unto the sacrifice, something happened in him immediately, right? Is it true that when things don't go our way, something hit us immediately? Is that true? If I don't get you to exercise your conscience, you're not going to see it. And you're going to keep yielding to that thing that hits immediately when things aren't going your way. I've got to get you to see that so that your pure conscience won't yield to it no more. The only reason, daughter, that your conscience yields to it is because your conscience needs purging. He don't have to remove the situation. He don't have to change your environment. All he needs to do is purge your conscience and let you stay there and tell that thing, try it again. And it'll come and you won't yield. God, are you hearing how? You got to hear me. Because you ain't going to get this reading scriptures. You ain't going to get AI ain't going to tell you this. You get this by being taught. And somebody can only teach you that's been sent to understand what I'm telling you now. So, How many times, just for you, how many times have you been put back in situations and you didn't respond the way you did the first time? Well, praise God for that. Come on. That is saying, and I know you never connected it to what I'm saying now, but I want you to start connecting it the way I'm talking to you now, so you can have confidence. Your confidence will increase if you connect it the way I'm saying now. Which means that if I step back in there and a response come out of me quite differently, then my conscience is being purged. Because the last time it wasn't, now it is. Now that ought to make you praise God, shouldn't it? So everything from now on should be that. That should be your that's in the foundation. Okay? Are we clear, live stream listeners? Do we have it? Because that's what you're supposed to know through the trying of your faith. It's more precious than gold. And the trying of your faith to see how much the faith that you have is in a pure conscience, or do you trust in your flesh in an evil conscience? That was so perfect. Please. Now, are you with me? Is everybody connected now? Come on. Is everybody connected? Yeah, I really, the Lord really wants you to get this. He really does.
Does it work the same way? Like some things, like you just said, you can easily, it's easy for you to not move with, but that has, you have really given yourself to, does it work the same way, or how does that work?
Oh, God. I could kiss you for this. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. I really am. I'm hearing Him. This is what the Lord is saying. Oh my God, I've never heard this before in my life. Oh Jesus, let me enjoy the moment. Okay, I'm going to tell you, but I got to enjoy the moment. Oh God, listen. Can you say what you said one more time? I don't care if you don't use the same words, but the gist of it. I want the gist of it there.
There are things that I give myself to less than I give myself to others. So does that same conscious work the same way if I do it less or greater?
Yeah, because she's saying, okay, there are some things I just don't, but it seemed like the things that I've given myself to are harder, right? Yeah. Now, this is what took me when she said that. The Holy Ghost said, what does it really mean to have faith as a grain of a mustard seed? What does it really mean? Based on what she said, and the Lord answered her like that, who gonna make me a nice bowl? Is anybody connecting what she's saying? Because I gotta get you to see this. You gotta see this. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, why would the Lord answer her like that with that situation? What is He telling her? That what is it He wants her to understand, and she don't walk away with words? She'll walk away with understanding. What is the Spirit saying about that scripture? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know the rest of it, but that's the only part I need to deal with. Go ahead.
If you have a grain of faith of a mustard seed, what you've given yourself to that appears hard won't be as hard for the Spirit, because it's the Spirit, but your faith is what's connected that will loose what you deem as hard.
You're on the right track. Keep going.
Okay. Let's go here. There you go. It's a little challenge. Just kidding. So, because... Should I throw my knowledge out?
And I want to have Him now.
Yeah, because it's a faith. Faith worketh by love. And
stay in the frame.
I'll stay in the frame. All right. So
don't go outside of the frame.
Yes, sir.
Because that's powerful. I'm going to say that to you often, to keep you in the frame.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So though we see something hard from our perspective, because our faith is a grain of a mustard seed, it's faith that's going to bring us out, because it's not our faith, it's the faith of Jesus.
You're so on the track. But I feel a struggle in you. But you are certainly right on track. Yes, Elder.
So when I got this faith that's the size of a mustard seed, no matter how large the obstacle is, whether it's a mountain or a molehill, I can still speak to it.
Did everybody hear that? You see how it connects to what she said? Because sometimes it feels hard. Now, how many of us have had situations that made us back up? And then there were other situations where I can believe. Now, he wants to purge your conscience. Why does your conscience need purging? Why? Tell me. You know. Yes, you know. Why does your conscience need purging? Why?
Because faith is held in the pure.
I don't think your distant brothers and sisters heard you.
Because faith is held in a purged conscience.
So when faith is held in what kind of conscience?
Purged
conscience. If the conscience isn't purged, can faith work? Did you hear what you just told me? Did you really hear what you just told me? So everybody want to grab hold to what? And forgot the foundation that holds faith. And what's that? So if your conscience is not pure, what's going to happen to your faith? It's going to be weak. You're going to doubt. You're going to wonder. And that faith as a grain of a mustard seed can't work because of one reason. What's that? And that doubt is where? In your conscience. If thou canst believe and doubt not, what did he tell you to do? Do you believe him, or you just thought he was just joking with you, making you feel good? Why didn't you question yourself and attack yourself as to why that wasn't happening to you because he said it? Why didn't you search yourself out? Why did you just go along with the crowd? Because the crowd is everyone that accepts everything and don't hold to what the Lord says. That's the crowd. Is that making sense? So I got to hold this faith in a pure conscience. Now, time passed. We ain't know nothing about no conscience. It was faith, faith, faith. But yet, even though the word conscience wasn't mentioned and brought to your attention, love thinketh. Did we know that scripture? Did we? But what made me still think evil? Because if somebody slaps me, I got a right to think evil, don't I, Pastor Devil? I got a right to, if they slap me, I got a right to think evil. You know what? Let me stretch the slap. You all think about this. That could be taken easier than what some folks have done to you. A slap will be a light thing compared to some of the stuff people have done to you all. Because some stuff been done to us, we stayed upset for years. And some folks, we don't even speak to, I hope we got it right by now. I hope we got it right. I hope we got it right about if they still on top of the ground. And don't go to the cemetery because they ain't there either. It wasn't their body that did it to you anyway. Their body didn't want to do it. They did it. So now you're hearing the new covenant. We're really building the power of the covenant. I want you very conscious of your covenant. I don't want our covenant to make us back down like King Saul when Goliath was standing and he's afraid. And he's got a covenant that says what? Nothing is supposed to make him bow. And God takes a little shepherd boy that's not even a king and knows enough of the law and called that giant a uncircumcised by the circumcision of Israel. That's covenant talking. You don't talk. Why don't you talk to your enemy by covenant? Because he's done much damage to us. But by the grace of God, we can still come out. We can. Because he never made you believe as a whole that you need to study everything I taught you. No, he didn't. He never made you deal with what I taught you like one of those classes, you know, 400 classes or those 600 classes you took to get that master's. He never made you take what I taught and deal with it like that. And I always knew you had to. And that's how he did much damage to us, because it kept our conscience from being purged and pricked. And he did much damage. But by the grace of God, there's this change is happening swiftly in here. It really is. You ought to praise God for that. There's this change that's happening. And it's coming together. We done turned over faith coming by hearing. It's like, I trust as much as we talk about it, that everybody is real conscious of, I got to hear. I really got to hear. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I got to hear. My soul needs saving. I got to hear. That's the key. I got to hear. I got to hear. I got to hear. Until hearing is greater than thinking. Hearing is greater than thinking. Because the Lord has already given us his mind, so you don't have no need to think. Why should I think when I already have his mind? All I need to do is hear his mind and let. I can't let because I don't want to stop thinking. You hear that? Make sense to you? That was good. Anyone else, right? Question, because I want to explain what is happening, because I see what he's doing. I see what the Lord is doing to you. He's exercising you in the services. You might not see it as an exercise, but he's really exercising you in the service. And you got to know it's an exercise going on. Especially the grain of mustard seed, like Elder Bell said. When you see something that makes you doubt whether he can do it, get your mind off of the object. And know it's the faith of the seed of a mustard seed that's held where? Now, the only thing that makes my faith weak is what? Doubt. Huh? Doubt. Where is this doubt? Because the tree of good and evil, you believe and you doubt. You ain't at the tree of life. Do you know it is not human? It is not human to believe and don't doubt. That's God. I've experienced it too much. This place where it is utterly impossible for a doubt to penetrate. God cannot doubt. Impossible. But we don't believe that we are supposed to have his mind. Come on, the witch of Endor saw God's coming up out of the earth. Oh, ho. She said it with Saul standing there. Gods were always supposed to be in the earth. Because who created the first one in the earth? God made him in his image and likeness and gave him dominion where? But the devil want to be God. Sitting in our seat. Adam sold everything to him. He transgressed because he knew the truth. Men that know the truth transgress. The woman was beguiled because the commandment was not given to her. So the enemy could beguile her because it wasn't given to her. It was given to him. And it was given to him when she was in him. She could observe his movement while she's in him and see his pattern while she's in him, that he never gravitated to that tree. That shocked me, didn't it? She had existence in him. She just didn't have flesh. Oh, God. Oh, my God. And she could observe, she could see in him that he never went to that tree. But purging the conscience. Let's go back. Let's go back. Cain was my example. You got what we're talking about? That if thou can believe and doubt not, so your conscience has to be purged by the truth. So remember, the way I'm dealing with you is I'm looking to see all the flaws or the doubt and the weak conscience that I might speak to it. That you might be pricked and move that doubt out of the way so faith can go to work in you. I'm never caught up in what you know. Didn't I tell you I never... Did I ever tell you that? That I wasn't concerned about what I knew? Did I ever say that? I don't know, did I? Where was I? I'm not measuring myself by anyone. The Lord is my standard. He is the measure. It is not wise for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. The scripture said so. You're supposed to gaze upon the pattern. But you say, I can't see the pattern because somebody else is moving against me and I can't look at the pattern for looking at them because they are wronging me. I didn't know they were the pattern. Everything comes to distort the pattern. Do you know why you can't see Jesus? You think it's complicated? No. You can't see Jesus because your mind isn't pure enough. But if you would have heard all the gospel I've preached and meditated upon the things I've said, it would be impossible for you not to see him even as I see him. But you won't give yourself to the mind I present to you like that. Because you like thinking. You're going to get it. And I told you I didn't. But you're going to get it. Wait a minute. I said I didn't. But you're going to get it. And it can only come by hearing. As you see the... Now, can I give you a word to say that your conscience is your light. Is that hard for anybody? Your conscience is your light? Agree or disagree? Agree? So when you see the light, what do? So when your conscience is pricked and you see the light, what are you supposed to do? But when you try to get it in your head, are you going to walk in it? No. Your conscience got to see it. Because where is the Holy Ghost? And what is the Holy Ghost? Wait a minute. Let's build on this thing. Let me tell you how strong your conscience really is. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Your conscience is supposed to bear you witness where? So what's been baptized into the Holy Ghost? You better put some talk. Come on. Talk to me. Come on.
Conscious have been baptized in the Holy Ghost.
When your conscience is baptized in the Holy Ghost, what is your conscience going to always tell you?
It's going to bear you witness that it's been baptized.
Don't be afraid. What is your conscience going to tell you?
The truth.
Thank you. Why did I tell her not to be afraid? Why did I tell you not to be afraid?
Because you didn't want me to back up from the truth.
And how did I know you were backing up?
Because of the way I answered
you. Praise God, church. That's how the Lord teaches. He's going to be very graceful. He's going to be very gentle with you. He's going to be very patient with you. If he's patient with you, then you be patient with you. If he's gentle with you, you be gentle with you. Don't establish a law in you that he isn't establishing in you, because you are going to be one disturbed human being. Why is the Lord going to be patient with you in this hour? Why? What is the power of patience?
Possess your soul.
So now we're getting closer to understanding the journey and how the soul is going to be saved through
patience.
Now, do you know we had to wait? A month ago, June 2nd, right? To July the 2nd. Sister Vera, we had to wait a whole month to hear what we're talking about tonight. Why couldn't we hear tonight a month ago? He had to exercise us, build us up, work with us, and get us to the place where we could what?
Hear.
And how do you know what he'll say to you a month from today? But I ain't got time to worry about that. He's the chief shepherd. As long as I keep listening and hearing, I will reveal to you what he's going to say. He knows my path. He orders the steps of a good man, or ordered by the Lord, not the devil, the Lord. And the good man's step. Isn't Jesus the good man? And when he was here, he said what? There's none good but one. Because he's walking in a vessel that's going to be a lamb that's going to be slain and take on iniquity. He said ain't none good but one. I want you very, very conscious of your soul journey. I'm persuaded that the reason we sin so easily, because we are unconscious of the price we pay for sinning. I believe that's why we do it. We're not conscious of the price we pay for sinning. And yet the price is still there. The debt is still there. Is that it? Will you hear it? But I believe if we continue to hear the gospel, you won't sin as easily, because your conscience is going to serve you, and it won't be as easy. You ought to praise Him for that. So, let's see. Go ahead.
I have a question about when you doubt is in our conscience, right?
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is in our conscience too. What do it look like to doubt what the Holy Ghost is saying to you?
It's all two consciences. Two?
Two.
One conscience is in the finish my statement, completion. One conscience is where?
In the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy, need the mic, come on.
Is in the Holy Ghost.
Where's the other conscience?
It's good and evil.
In, and it's where is it? What conscience is it in? Evil conscience,
flesh.
Right? Seared conscience?
Yeah.
With what kind of iron?
Hot iron.
Oh, anybody got iron, boy? Let me bring it here and see if I can sear this conscience. Is that the hot iron he's talking about? Is that it? Damn. What's the hot iron? Tell me the hot iron that sears your conscience. Tell me. Anybody want to talk to me? Come on.
Is it lust?
Yeah, build on that for me, please. It's the right word. She says it's lust. Build on that.
It's hot. It burns.
And what is hot and burning associated with?
Desires.
And what makes those desires hot and burn? What is it?
Lust.
It's red.
It's red. Oh, okay. Fire. She said fire.
Now, ready for part two. Seeing that you're hearing. Lust. And the evil conscience. Holy Ghost. The pure conscience. But my conscience need purging, right? Is that true? That's what He does. Purge our conscience from
dead
work. The conscience is where the dead work is initiated. Mm-hmm. That was perfect. The dead work is first initiated in your conscience. So until you become conscious of your conscience, you always going to be taken.
So when we make a movement and we don't recognize our conscience or see our conscience, that's sin.
Yes. And where did you sin?
What did I sin?
Where did you sin?
Without seeing the conscience, it had to be my body.
And what's happening to your conscience if you sin?
It's getting seared.
Talk to them so they can hear you.
It's being seared with a hot iron.
We're going to put some weight on that. Because there are some freelancers. I call a freelancer a lawless person, a lawless human being, whose conscience is so dead, their mind can think of anything and they feel nothing against it, nor would they back up against from it. That's lawlessness. Do you know, we really don't know how lawless we have become, because nobody is bringing us enough truth to make us see how far we have fallen away having the Holy Ghost. And we're wondering why all this stuff is happening to us. I'm telling you, it's happening to us because of our sins, and we deny the covenant. It's happening to us. No. When he said he makes a difference between the world, if he did it under Moses, made a difference between Goshen and Egypt. And so much so, when Pharaoh wanted to take the firstborn of Israel, the Lord said, I'll judge you by your own word. That's why you don't have to say nothing to your enemy. Let your enemy boast and know one thing, God will judge your enemy by the very word he's speaking to you. Whose firstborn died? The man leaning on the king's staff when there's a drought in the land. The prophet said, tomorrow about this time. What did that man say?
If there be windows of heaven.
What conscience is he speaking?
Evil.
And he gave his members to it.
Yes.
He gave his tongue to it.
Yes.
He gave his mind to it. He gave his sight to it. He gave his ear to it. All his instruments in his body are speaking against the word of the prophet. And what's going to happen to him?
He's not going to see it when the blessing comes.
He's not going to eat, but he'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Who judged that man?
God.
How did the Lord, how did the prophet judge him?
By his words.
You going to be judged by your word. Hear me tonight. God's going to judge everybody by the word that come out of their mouth. He's always done it.
Jesus.
I have seen it through all the scriptures. He always judges by the word that comes out of his mouth. Jeremiah puts yokes on and go tell the king, if you don't bow down, this is what they're going to do to you. All the king's lying prophets came and turned it all the way around and said, this is what God going to do to them, to Babylon. And they put Jeremiah in a what? Dungeon. Well, guess what? They judged God's prophet, put him in a dungeon. Who died? And who lived?
Jeremiah.
You don't have to do anything to help the Lord. Watch him. As sure as I'm standing, you'll see it. I want you all taking your hands out of stuff. Have enough faith to leave it alone. Nobody escapes the hand of God. Has or ever will. I don't care if that rich man didn't give that beggar a crumb. Tell me he didn't pay when he went to hell. Because the tongue that wouldn't let him feed the beggar when he got where he was going, it couldn't satisfy him no more. But when he was in the earth, his tongue satisfied who? Because anything he wanted, what happened? Anything he said, what happened? But he entered into a world where his tongue had no power. And the beggar's tongue went to work. If this life is all we have, let's not come to church no more and pack our bags and go do what we want to do. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because it's over. If this is it. But Jesus came
And God made a man in a garden, in a pleasant place. And nobody seems to want to find that place. Nobody want to seek it. Nobody want to, because the world, everything happened to the world is happening to us. I am not a believer of it. I was disturbed. And I was shaken. That God's people, and us included, was dealing with COVID and catching COVID like that. That bothered me. I was quite disturbed. Because anytime I believe something, I don't sit back and go to sleep. I'm searching to see, okay, Lord, help me here. I'm not questioning you. You always made a difference. 2 much happens to us that happened to the world because we love the world. That's why. And he told us what?
Love not the world.
Do you really want to think like God? Because to think like God, dear, is not to think like a human. It's true. It's possible. You get so far? Cain, sin is at your door, but I'm going to talk to you. And that's God, right? God talked to the man, right? God talked to the man, right?
Yes.
God talked to the man.
Yes.
And he still did what he said. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Ghost in the Godhead.
Yes.
Church, it's the Holy Ghost in the Godhead.
Yes.
So when the Holy Ghost talks to you, it's the Godhead talking to you.
Yes.
How is it that you do what Cain did when God talks to you and when the Holy Ghost talks to you? When God spoke to Cain, he still did what he wanted to do. When the Holy Ghost talked to you, why do you still do what you want to do when it's the Godhead? Jesus. How do you resist the Godhead like that? And we got a better covenant. And we aren't writing the laws in our mind and our heart. He's writing it. But why don't I want to hear it and feel what he's writing in us? Do I want to be what God made me, or I want to make myself? Am I sick of making me? And you're not going to get sick of making you until you realize what you made is a mess. You know why we get mad when we mess up? Can I reveal the real truth to you? I know why we get mad. We get mad because we don't look like God when we mess up. We look like who we are. Flesh. We grass. To get mad when you mess up, don't correct nothing. Because you are mad because something came out of you that was beneath your standard. Not God's standard, your standard. You moved in a way you didn't want to move, so you mad. No, that's your righteousness talking to you. And it's self-righteous. When you don't measure up, just say, I'm a sinner and I'm wretched. You'll be surprised at what kind of deliverance you'll get. Because a whole don't need a physician, do they? Only Pastor Deborah, as long as we walk around and say we whole, the Lord ain't going to help none of us. He ain't lying. He know we need it because he done paid the price. But he ain't running because you think you got it. And everything in your life will start telling you what? You don't have it. And you ain't going to believe you don't have it because you're going to keep trying to get it, aren't you? God, he's talking. He really is talking. There are some things you will pursue. I'll say it like this and then I'll tell you how he said it. There are some things in life you will pursue and never walk in. You know why? Because your soul will not have the strength to take you into something God has declared will not be. You will hunger and thirst for it and never walk in it. Because God will not let your soul supply you the strength to walk in it, because it's against His will. Now that's how you can understand it. Let me tell you how He said it to me. The rich man tore the barns down and built bigger ones. I got one question. Did the scripture say the ones he built after he tore those down got full?
No. No.
Did they ever get full?
No.
Why?
He died.
Because God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things you pursue. Let me tell you something. Is he a very present help?
Yes.
You don't need 5 years to find out if God's talking. God, it never took that long. You don't need that. You just need to hear what he's saying. How long did that rich man work on building that newborn? And never did what?
Build it up.
It would have been better if it would have left the other ones what? Full, and gave somebody else the overflow. Can I ask the supreme question? Do you want your soul saved? Do you really want? Do you? Have you heard enough gossip to believe that your soul can be saved? Come on, don't try to make me feel good. Do you really want your soul saved? Because that's what life is all about. We're not coming to church for something they taught us when we was kids. Rapture, waiting for a day to come. We're going to go out of here and the grave's going to open up and ain't nothing in the grave. The cemetery and all that crazy stuff. Okay, it's time for that stuff to die. That none of that stuff was true. Somebody just took the scriptures, didn't understand the spirit, and know how to present the scriptures, but now all that stuff got to be baptized. I'm looking for the second coming. And he said, every eye, I think that word is singular, every eye shall see him. Now, if you got eyes, you ain't going to see him. You got too many. Paul said, eyes full of what? Adultery. Eyes full of adultery can't stop lusting. You will never see the Lord. Never.
The eyes, is it because of the duality of that tree? You're speaking from the evil conscience.
Yes. See, if this world is full of objects, amen. Do you know what I mean when I say objects? Bodies. We associate everything with matter. Did I lose anybody when I said matter? Because matter is anything that has weight, occupies space. They probably have another property now. That's what it was when I was in school. I don't know. It probably got another property. Anything that has weight and occupies space is matter. Body, matter. We love matter. And Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the
matter.
He's not talking about a situation. He's talking about, let's hear the conclusion of this stuff we've been born in. When are you going to come to the conclusion of this stuff? Are you going to spend all your days pouring it out into this? Are you going to only have hope in this life? You're going to be miserable. Because when something happened to you in this life and you don't have an answer in this life, you're going to be miserable. If all your hope is in this life that's got evil in it, I was going down the road and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, a friend of mine told me some things happened. I mean, I heard about a lot of sad situations this week, people helping people and car hit. My friend told me it was two people somewhere else. It's like the same thing was happening. I said, good gracious, Lord. I said, how did this happen like this? And I'm saying, Lord, you said it was evil in every day. I said, but I don't get up every morning saying, keep me from the evil of the day. I just get up and go about my business. And I'm repenting for this because I'm acting like there's no evil in every day. And I told him that this week because of all the things I heard. It's in every day. It ain't a day go by that evil is not in it. Who is the only one that can keep us from it? The Lord. So from that day, I got, Lord, keep me from the evil of this day. I didn't stop there. I said, keep New Jerusalem. Keep the Federation. Keep all those you've given me from the evil of the day. Do you see how I see the light? And what did I do immediately? I didn't struggle because I saw light. And he answers me. Oh no, he don't leave. Oh, he talks. He said, you can pray that prayer. Now, when the Lord tell me I can pray a prayer, is any doubt in me at that point? Is any going to be in you? When the Lord tell you, you can pray that, are you going to doubt? Thank you. I didn't doubt after that. Because when we pray according to His will, we know we have the petition that He's asked. That's the beauty of it. And that's been my prayer every day. That's a part of my prayer. Every one that He has given me. Even if they're not here yet. Keep from the evil of the day. That's why we need a covering. We gotta have a covering. We gotta have it. We gotta have it. So we've said a lot of things. We've put a lot of pieces and took some things to get over. I want her to read this scripture for reference, for purpose. I'll let, get them, tell them where it is. And we talked about it, so I want you to be able to connect with this as well. And we can take a break if you need a break from this.
1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Do that one again.
1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So, natini miyoka endede yobokusha atakale yesehu. Do that again.
1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
This is the part I want you to key in on. I'll back you into the rest. I'm going to the bottom. I'm coming back up. The answer of a good conscience. How? Just that part. The answer of a good conscience, and what comes after that?
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Do that together. Listen to this closely. Come on.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Come on, do it again.
1 Peter 3:21. The light figure.
No, just that part. Just that part. I want to key in on that part right there. Just that part.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Let me tell you what he said. Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer? 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 Why? Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer? Why? Why? Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer? Well, it does sometimes. Well, I'm not talking about those times at all. I want those times where it ain't answering good. Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer? Who's going to talk to me? Who's going to help us bring this forward? She's over there. Come on, give her a mic. She's behind you. Minister Nadine, she's behind you. Oh. I'm going to stand over here so you can talk loud.
I realize that what my conscience don't give a good answer is because I don't want to surrender my mind, my will, and my emotions.
What is all of that comprised in?
The soul.
Now I don't. Okay. That's true. In the framework. Do that again, Minister Sarah. Listen.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Is everybody hearing that scripture? You're hearing that. Come on. If you're there, come on. Let's say it. Let's say it. Come on. Lead them through it, Minister. Lead them through it.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Do that again. Lead them again.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer? I didn't hear you. I'm not hearing you.
It hasn't resurrected. The conscience hasn't resurrected.
Your conscience hasn't resurrected?
Yes.
Why hasn't? Why?
According to my understanding of what I'm seeing here.
Explain. What you see.
But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
I'm listening now.
And your question was, I think, was why isn't our conscience giving a good answer?
Why doesn't your conscience give a good answer?
Because it hadn't been resurrected.
So our conscience doesn't give a good answer because Christ hasn't been resurrected. He's still dead.
You're so on the path. Let's help finish it. Resurrected how? Where?
In our conscience.
To finish it, yeah, Jesus Christ hasn't resurrected in our conscience. We haven't witnessed it.
And where is Jesus Christ supposed to be?
Held in a pure conscious.
Where is he supposed to be? Build upon that. There's something I taught you before that. What did I teach you before that? What did I teach you before that? That's true. Before that. 2 Corinthians 13:5, what does it say? Yeah. Go ahead.
Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
What you're telling me is that if you don't know Jesus Christ is in you, what are you?
Reprobate.
You're unprofitable. God can't use you. So why are people trying to force God to use them and they know he's not in them? Because they have not believed in the what?
Resurrection.
And they examine themselves and they are not in the what? Faith. And Christ supposed to dwell in your heart's how? And every woman supposed to adorn herself after who?
The hidden man.
Women, have you seen this man in your heart? Has he risen in your heart? Or you tell me who's in your heart? You don't need two in your heart. You just need one. And he ought to be in him. He ought to be in him. And if Jesus is in your heart, he can be there. Because he's in him. Now if you have it any other way, you already know the story, don't you? So, give me that last part again. I don't know. It's getting weighty. Y'all need a break. We'll finish this statement. Come on. Do it again.
1 Peter 3:21. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So, we do not only acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this world, because he rose from the dead and was seen with the patriarchs and then talked for 40 days. So many miracles that they're not even written. Nobody could write them. The books cannot contain them. They are the infallible miracles that he did after the resurrection. And then he went up. That same Jesus said, I'm coming in like man. That's why when he comes back, he cannot come back to deal with nobody's sin. Nobody is ever going to see the Lord a second time when they have not acknowledged the first time. The first time was for your sins. The second time is for your salvation. Now, I don't know if they told you that when you die, we'll all get up. Your sins got to be dealt with. So, an answer of a good conscience by the what?
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Know you not. Prove your own self that Jesus Christ is where? Do you know he's in you or you are in you? Which one is in you? Because you know how we can act and we know that ain't Jesus. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you, we have not heard. We have not heard. Because if you hear what's coming, and if faith coming, who's going to be in you? It's impossible for faith to come and Jesus Christ not be in you. Why does our flesh stay with us? You haven't heard him, but you hear your flesh. Why do your flesh talk to you in all your trials and your situation? Because you don't train yourself to listen to what? Because whatever you train yourself to listen to, that's what's going to talk to you. When Peter and they arrest Jesus, why is he going to pull a sword? He has trained himself to defend himself with the flesh. Whatever you train yourself with, the moment you step in the battle, that's the first thing coming up out of you. And because that's how you train yourself. Don't look for God to come out of you and you ain't trained yourself for him to come out of you. No, he haven't. Come on. Tell me what you feel. What up? What'd you feel? Talk to me. That was weighty. He just said that about that scripture. Your conscience is not going to answer you unless who has risen in you. So now we know why we speak evil one another. Because Jesus Christ is not where? And if he's not in us, what are we? Now, is that his fault? Did he do the work? What is the problem? You ain't heard the sent preacher yet. You still hearing you? I want to know why everybody in here isn't feeling what I'm feeling. And all you had to do was, there's nothing else for you to do. But you can't hear me and the flesh. Two cannot walk together except they. The life is so simple. We are supposed to be like sheep. Ain't no goats in the shepherd's field. Only sheep are in the shepherd's field. We gotta stop all of this warring. It's death to us. Don't let your tongue create a fire that will torment you in this world and the next one. Don't let your tongue create a fire. That's what James said. Don't let your tongue create a fire that will torment you in this world and in the next. That little member boasts great things. How great a fire. And it sets on fire the course of nature. There is a tongue that speaks, and the spirit of that tongue is even over your tongue in your body. It will destroy the course of nature. According to Romans chapter 1 that we went through, that tongue does that. These things are spirits. They done had a body. And then they coming to get yours so they can do it again. Because they never satisfy. They never satisfy. This is to the saving of the soul. Are you the one? New Jerusalem, live stream listeners, the Federation. Are you the ones that's going to believe into the saving of the soul? Are you the one? Are you? Because that's something you got to answer. The Lord ain't going to answer that for you. You're going to have to answer. Do I want my soul saved? Do I want to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do I really believe that all the turmoil that goes on inside of me and half of the stuff that happens inside of me, I don't want to tell nobody? Do I really believe that a day can come when none of that's in me? No briars, no thorns, and no thistles. That my earth is at peace. Can I really have a conscience that testifies that no bitter root is in me? Do I believe the gospel can do that? Or I'm going to spend all my days warring and fighting. Good days, bad days. I don't believe that, New Jerusalem. No, I don't. I do not believe that. No. And I'm preaching to you that I might persuade you not to believe a lie and receive a curse when Jesus has risen.